Watch your emails for ballots from the SGPS and vote yes to continue CFRC's optional fee on January 29th and 30th. Thank you for your support.
KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM present a stacked lineup of shows this January and February at the Broom Factory, featuring a mix of big-name acts and some local favorites. On January 18th, don't miss Canadian alt-rock duo Mountainhead. January 24th features local indie rock outfit Cassador. On January 26th, Bedouin Soundclash takes the stage. February 7th sees Busty and the Bass come to town. And on February 19th, it's a special Wednesday night rock show with headliners Dear Rouge. For additional information and to buy tickets, visit kppconcerts.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence special episode, recorded here at CFRC 101.9 FM, supported by the City of Kingston and the Kingston Arts Council. Today, we are here with Michael Boulos, the second artist to join us in the Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program, a project offering opportunities for young and emerging musicians and bands to use CFRC's recording studios to develop, rehearse, and produce new original songs. Finally, they are given the opportunity to have a live-to-air performance on the CFRC airwaves. Without further ado, here is Michael Boulos.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
So, Michael, why don't you tell us about yourself and your work as an artist?
I started music-wise fairly young, just like listening to music a bunch. Went the whole iRiver party route, acquiring music here and there. My parents listened to a lot of like oldies and a lot of classical music. And then into high school and university, started going to shows and having like my own autonomy and sort of expanding my musical horizons. And then moving back here, getting into show organization a lot. And I think all of that led towards me starting my own project, which is Kahraba. I ended up booking a handful of noise and experimental shows, and I found them to be consistently the most compelling shows that I had put on. I found the performances really engaging, the way the musicians and the artists approached it with their own unique sound and philosophy is also really engaging. Reaching Needles, Primitive Visualization Tactics, Scream and Writhe, Montreal Noise-based label. Shout out to Taylor & Co. All those people sort of incepted the idea of like maybe I could sort of start performing my own way. And then locally, people like Matt Rogalski and David Parker, who are, Matt Rogalski is a professor at Queen's University, also has quite a large discography, as well as just explorations into what music can be and tends to explore a lot of experimental fringe and interesting performances in that regard. And the David Parker, Slow Man Tofu, another person locally who has a large discography in more of the experimental side. All those people, I think, were a big influence to sort of get me going and led me towards performing in the sort of noise experimental realm. And the Kahraba project stems from the idea that it can be accessible. Anyone can do this sort of thing. It is just a mixing board, is what my quote-unquote instrument is, and that's not something that a lot of people will have a hard time finding. That's a very rambling and roundabout way of how I ended up in the music realm. And then me as a person, I've had a radio show here at CFRC for a while now, 3 years, 3.5 years, I think, actually. I've run No Static Monday nights for quite a while now, and then been involved here and there at the station. And then I'm just like a local community member in town.
Awesome. Yeah. Why don't you describe what no input mixing is on a very basic level?
No input mixing is doing things you shouldn't do with a mixing board. It turns the mixing board into what I have described as an evil synthesizer. If you look at a mixing board, for those who don't know what a mixing board is, for a lot of or almost every sort of music or performance or that sort of thing, you need to take the sounds from guitars or drums or microphones or anything like that and route them into or consolidate them into a mix and then route that further towards your speakers and so on. And that's what the mixing board does. The mixing board, you use that to level, get the volume and channels and that sort of thing. So by taking a mixing board's main outs or outputs and routing it back into itself, you can create oscillations, and then through those oscillations, changing the equalizers that you have in most mixing boards will then impact what the oscillation sounds like, the frequency, the tone, that sort of thing. And then that's basically it. You can do no input mixing with basically any mixing board. There's a handful of people on YouTube actually who have done a few helpful, like, this is what it is as an instrument, this is what you can do. This is different ways that you can route your oscillations, and different ways you can explore different sounds and that sort of thing. So that, in conjunction with Matt Rogalski and David Parker, I mentioned earlier, was how I sort of got my head around how to use the mixing board. And then in my case, it is a secondhand mixing board. A friend of mine, Kai, who is involved in a handful of different projects, Spirit Desire, Box Cutter, New Friends DIY out in Toronto. They had a mixing board lying around, gave it to me for free. And it's what I've been using as my quote unquote instrument. If you are interested in no input mixing in any capacity, don't buy a mixing board new. You don't need to. It's bad for the mixing board. Do some trawling, Kijiji, your local classified. Someone somewhere will have a rinky-dink mixing board. And start playing around with it and have fun.
Yeah, so when we were doing our residency sessions, I asked Michael how he feels about getting higher-end mixing boards, and does it affect the overall sound? But I guess you kind of answered my question, where it's like,
yeah, I don't. You can just no. I mean, I'm sure. Like when we had chatted prior to like my studio sessions, I had mentioned I've had experiences with other mixing boards, and they will have different quirks or tendencies, or tonally they will respond differently. But they all will sort of operate the same, where if you change certain EQs, certain tones will change, just by the nature of how EQing works. The only mixing board I'll ever get is another secondhand one when I inevitably burn the first one to the ground.
Exactly, exactly. For your mixing board, tell us about your style and technique. Like, when you're trying to create these experimental pieces, is there something that you look out for, or you go into it being like, I'm trying to create that? Or is it all kind of just come naturally to you?
I will approach it with constraints, I think, is how I will, more recently anyway. Earlier on, it would be a lot of especially when I didn't really have a handle on or have the intuition around like what things that I do with the board will respond in what ways. In that situations previously, I would just take my quarter inches and plug them into all sorts of different things and mess around with the volume, mess around with the gains, mess around with the EQs, and just see what tones come up out of it. And then try and follow those trains of thought. Try and be open-minded towards what tones and what sounds are produced. Try not to be super quick to the trigger if there's something that can be interpreted as displeasing. A stereotypical, like, no input mixing sort of thematic sound is a very high-pitched, really painful oscillation screech sort of sound. And I've tended to avoid those when I can, but depending on how the performance is going or how I'm approaching the performance and what sounds I've explored, I will sort of approach it in the same way that almost in a post-rock manner, where I would have a sort of slow meandering bass. I'll do some droning. I'll accelerate the tempo or the frequency, or sort of in one manner or another, increase the energy and then go from there. Am I going to raise the bar higher or lower? And just sort of feel it out. It's a very intuitive sort of thing. And, you're also kind of beholden to the quote unquote instrument. Sometimes it doesn't do what you think it'll do, and, you kind of have to go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in a live performance setting, that could be very interesting. Why don't you tell us about some of your in-person performances and favorite memories as a performing artist?
It's been really fun. I had never really thought about doing it more than just in a live setting, really. It's interesting to have done the series sessions and look forward to probably putting stuff on a cassette tape that I've recorded in a more professional manner, because I'd always wanted to just like be weird in front of people and perform. And the performances have been really engaging. It tends to be quite weird a lot of times, and if I'm performing in situations where, for example, the Palestine fundraiser that we'd ran, there is a group of people there who are not aware of what noise music is or even experimental music, and it can be a tough pill to swallow sometimes. I at one point in time, I had a few dates in the summer this year, and prior to those dates, because I didn't end up booking anything locally, I just went to the Musiki open night and cleared the room. But I had a couple of people come by and say, "Hey, that was really cool. Like, what exactly did you do? What was going on?" So that's, I think, a highlight of mine, just sort of making use of what open spaces can be and sort of intruding at times. Another highlight, I think, was I played a show at Turbo House in the early days of the project, sort of exploring the identity, exploring the theme and the name and that sort of thing. I had been collaborating with Chancellor Miracle, local person in town, friend and champion of the station, and we were performing as a duo slash group under the name Pity the Heel. But for the Montreal date, Chance was not able to make it. And in Pity the Heel, we were doing two mixing boards operating and oscillating between both mixing boards. So we would have quarter inches and XLRs fed to each other and then out. So in Chance's stead, I just set up the mixing board across from me, down in front of the stage, and sort of prior to my performance, gave a very brief overview of what people can do with an open mixing board and just let it be available to anyone else in the crowd who wanted to come up and do it. And it seemed like Montreal is a very musical group. I learned later that the like Thursday night crowd and the Thursday night billings is also a bunch of other musicians and sort of people who are not really afraid of coming up on stage and engaging in performance in that regard. And also karaoke. So during that show as well, I had just taken a bunch of microphones that were feeding into the mixing ports and just fed them into the crowd, which was fun. It was cool to see the microphone sort of be passed around during the performances. I was doing the performance and then also seeing people come up to the other mixing board and join alongside me.
Yeah. Even when we were doing our residencies, you even set up your board and you were like, "Hey, if you want to come try it out, like, feel free." And I found that like I could get the hang of it. I can kind of feel like I could create something within a matter of moments. It's very intuitive and easy to use.
Exactly. It's intuitive. And I think what's cool about the noise and experimental side of stuff is by virtue of it, and some people really take it to a whole other level where they are like willingly reject the premise of practice and just sort of perform. Vomir is a French artist who does that sort of thing. I forget the term that they use for that. And then by virtue of it being entirely improvisational and intuitive, it lends itself to the performances themselves being singular. Like the handful of dates I did in the summer, each and every show was very, very compelling in its own ways. The one show that I did at Dort's Pub was one where I was using contact mics attached to the mixing board. And in that room, which was particularly loud and particularly resonant, there was a lot of interesting ways that the contact mics were picking up feedback within the room and sort of carrying it into the mix and playing around with moving the mixing board itself and sort of gesturing and brandishing the mixing board in ways that are visually compelling, but also responds to the room itself. Is really cool and adds another facet to the performance where it's not just me sitting down with the mixing board, but it's also a bit more grandiose and engaging too.
Could you talk more about the style or the technique rather of no input mixing? Like, do you know how it started exactly?
There is one figure from Japan who tends to be not necessarily the founding father of it or anything, but tends to be someone who is well established in the no input mixing board scene. But it's something that it's in the same way a lot of experimental things tend to be. People, one way or another, have explored and done it, I'm certain. But this person, Toshimaru Nakamura, I saw a Bandcamp article posted in 2022 about them, written by Matthew Blackwell. That was another sort of in the early inception points of like me looking into no input mixing, experimental music in general, and trying to find what ways I could get myself into it. That was sort of how I found out about it. And like, I would recommend reading the Bandcamp article. And then also, like, I have not done a lot of my homework in this regard. It's sort of something I've been not necessarily ignoring what's been done before, but just sort of taking it as it comes and each performance that I get to do, I'm very grateful to have done and just enjoying what I can do with it.
Do you know of any other artists in Kingston that are doing this? And if so, what excites you about it?
Specifically no input mixing, I think it is, officially anyway, is probably David Parker, Matt Rogalski, and myself. Mm-hmm. I know Chance has explored it in the past. I know Kate, a friend of mine, has also done in the past and sort of experimenting with it. And it's interesting to see how different people will either continue with it or build within it. In my case, I'm happy to mostly primarily use the mixing board with the contact mics I've set up on attached to it. I've also been playing around with using microphones themselves or different items or objects that have certain resonant or sonic capacities that I enjoy, like chains sound really good when it comes through on the mixing board or via a few pedals. David Parker, for example, uses the no-input mixing board and then a tape loop, a four-channel tape track of some kind. And it's ultimately separate from the no-input mixing board itself, and more so it's interesting to see how people, in a more broad sense, experiment and explore and find what compels them to make weird sounds.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that we were talking about before is you use some pedals as well to create your sound. Mm-hmm. Are there any other pedals that you would think of putting in your arsenal to create different sounds?
One thing I've wanted to do for a while now is try and find some looping pedal of some kind, because that would give mm-hmm. me a bit more autonomy, especially if I find during a performance, oh, this particular sound or this particular chunk of sound sounds really good and I would like to hold on to that. But that sort of lends itself into when do I stop buying gear? So I've been very diligent about constraining myself to, like, if I'm using this no input mixing board thing, this is going to be the setup for the project. And if I want to do anything else, I'm just going to go beyond that. I know, like, an SB404 or other similar sound pair would be nice to have. Same with like a looping pedal. I'm sure a vocal effects pedal would be really fun too. But I'm content with the gear that I have right now. And I know at some point I will get bored of it. And samples would be a good way to do it. But then I would probably end up looking into, like, tape loops and that sort of thing. And then it's a whole other wormhole. There's a lot of different ways people can do noise in experimental music. I've seen people with, like, three pedal setups, just harsh abrasive stuff. So in that regard, it's nice to sort of be someone who is just the no input mixing board, and that sort of is the identity of the project.
Yeah. In terms of this style of music, can you talk about the importance of campus and community radio in supporting artists like yourself?
I mean, it's immense. Letting, like, grassroots in any capacity whatsoever is so, so, so massive to allow people to explore, to play, to try new things, to engage in things that they never would have previously. And it lends itself to a more broader DIY ethos in general. Campus community stations and, like, the concept of DIY, do it yourself, go hand in hand quite well for a lot of people here. We came to the station wanting to be more involved in music or, like, have a radio show, and we're self-driven and given the opportunity to do so. So stuff like the Airwave YGK residency is great to let people have resources that they may not have access to, and use those resources effectively or explore in ways that they wouldn't have been able to prior.
Where can people see you perform or find your recordings?
On Bandcamp, Kahraba, Kahraba. You will find me there. I need to move the previous identity of the project, Sotem, over to the Kahraba page, but that'll be where it is. You can find me on Instagram at NoStaticForever, which is primarily the Instagram page for the radio show that I do. I don't like social media all the time, so... That's basically where it will be. I am performing in December, so I'm pretty sure this will be later than December when this goes live.
Yeah.
But I'll be performing at Peterborough, Garbage Face out in Peterborough, Doom Rapper / Noisemaker, who also, again, I've interfaced with so many people as a result of getting into DIY and that sort of thing. Everyone's just cool and keen to put on shows. Garbage Face is putting me on Winter Solstice. That's going to be a terrible drive in and out. But the gig will be fun. I'm excited to see what he's got cooked up for that. And then I'm performing on the 28th in Picton, Radio Collective out in Picton are putting together this really interesting thing called Void Fest, where they have gotten buy-in from a bunch of different like community and storefront sort of people. And it's sort of like a guided walking tour where you'll go to a store and then a performer will be there at the place or the store or the thing. I think I'm in like a library rental room like 2 p.m. And then beyond that, I'll end up booking gigs at some point in the future. I love performing. It's sort of the main reason that the project exists. It's fun to do this sort of thing. So keep your eyes peeled. You can reach out to me even by email, nostaticradioshow@gmail.com. I have a newsletter. I haven't used that in a while, but I should probably send out something soon. Yeah, you can find me there in those places.
Cool. Awesome. And why don't you tell us about your upcoming live-to-air performance at CFRC? What can listeners expect to hear/experience?
You probably will not have heard it before. It will sound very interesting. It'll probably be quite unique to the average CFRC listener. If you listen to my show Monday nights, it will not be uncharted territory. It'll be interesting. It'll be electronic, harsh, abrasive. It'll be textured. It'll be droney. I plan to bring stuff from my kitchen. So see if you can hear what it may sound like coming through the mix. And it'll be cool. We'll have video for it too. And I'll make a spectacle of it for sure.
Okay, cool. Anything else you would like to add or like to say to the listeners?
Be weird. Have fun. Don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to try new stuff. Don't be afraid to start your own band, start your own project, run your own shows. If you don't think the music in your town is what it wants to be or what it should be, then you can be the person that changes that. Care about your community, care about your campus stations, wherever you are. Be nice, and have fun.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Calling all SGPS members, CFRC 101.9 FM is going to referendum this year to seek continuance of its optional student fee. Help your campus radio station serve our community with news, music, arts programming, podcasts, and more. Watch your emails for ballots from the SGPS and vote yes to continue CFRC's optional fee on January 29th and 30th. Thank you for your support.
No Static, every Monday from 6 to 8 on CFRC. Every Monday from 6 to 8 on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. You never know what you're gonna get. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. Hosted by your friends, Mike and Chance. No Static. No Static. CFRC 101.9 FM. CFRC.ca. CFRC.ca/no_static.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a song from local metal band Exigen's debut EP entitled Game of Puppets, released on all streaming platforms on Friday, January 3rd. Featuring four heavy genre blending tracks, the EP was created by Ben Snyder, Joe Shell, Nathan Graham, and Isaac Heathcock, and produced by Terry Ben at Switzerville Sound Retreat. We've been fortunate to have amazing fans and friends supporting us, says the band, and they hope to keep the metal scene growing in Kingston. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Game of Puppets on your favorite platforms and enjoy today's selection from this new EP called Fleeting Moments, here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.